It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. When Bill O'Brien became head coach of the scandal-plagued Nittany Lions football team, he knew there would be challenges. Now, as he leaves Penn State to become head coach of the Houston Texans, those scandals have come to light as Penn State searches for its second head coach of the post-Joe Paterno era. I'm joined now by phone by our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is Sportsnet, and he is co-author of the book Game Over about the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
I'm well, thank you. Why has Bill O'Brien left Penn State? Is it a simple case of a head football coach leaving for an opportunity to coach in the NFL, or is there more to it than that?
Well, it was his dream to coach in the NFL. According to what he said, you have to take, he came from the NFL, was offensive coordinator with the Patriots, and wanted to be his own man. Now, but as we know, before he left, he did say some things about the pressures and challenges of being in Happy Valley, and I think that may have had certainly something to do with him exiting the program after 2 years.
And on the way out, he said some things that have left some Penn State fans a little confused and upset. There was an article in the Harrisburg Patriot News in which David Jones, a reporter for that newspaper, was interviewing O'Brien, and O'Brien told him in a phone interview, quote, "You can print this. You can print that I don't really give, insert four-letter word here, what the Paterno people think about what I do with this program. I've done everything I can to show respect to Joe Paterno, everything in my power. So I could really care less about what the Paterno faction of people or whatever you call them think about what I do with this program. I'm tired of it. For any Paterno person to have any objection to what I'm doing, it makes me want to put my fist through this windshield right now." Clearly he was driving when he was on the phone, end quote. So what is this Paterno faction that O'Brien is talking about? What's going on?
Well, I do think he did not specify exactly who they were and what they did, if there was a level of interference. We wish we would know that a little bit better. But clearly he was upset and did not think he could operate in that kind of environment. Now, there is, Penn State's a traumatized community. There are people who want to pick up the pieces and make sure that they learn from the scandal and get some positives out of it. There are others who just want to forget the whole thing or deny that anything happened and restore the luster of the past, as if that could easily happen. But I do think I do think that there is a faction that wants to, one, restore Coach Paterno back on that pedestal, and as if he had nothing to do at all, or was not caught up in the scandal in any way whatsoever.
So, were they then making life difficult for O'Brien? And if so, why? Is it because he's not a Penn State alum? What is it all about?
Oh, I think anytime you're following a legend, you're going to have that kind of thing. If you look at what happened in Alabama after Bear Bryant was gone, there's and there are in every major school, and there are alumni associations or factions who want to see the program run a certain way. I mean, these are the boosters, these are the people who pay money into the program. So clearly, in O'Brien's case, he felt that he was being subjected to pressures that he didn't want to put up with, that he wanted to be his own man and run his own program, which I think any coach would like to do.
So we're talking about people interfering with his, with what he saw as his job duties.
Yes, yeah, there's no other conclusion you can reach that he thought he was being interfered with.
And one of the odd things here is that there was this sense that he might have been a target for criticism or interference from Penn State boosters because he wasn't a Penn State alum. But wasn't that the whole point of his being hired in the first place? The idea that because of the scandal, because of what was going on there, that an outsider, which Bill O'Brien was exactly what Penn State needed.
Yeah, exactly. That was the theory. If you reach out to the outside and have someone come in and just make a clean, fresh start with that program. Don't forget, you know, Tom Bradley, the longtime assistant, was the interim coach, and you know, in any other circumstances, would have been the perfect successor because of his ties to the program. You know, there are pluses and minuses on each side. You know, an outsider comes in, makes a clean break and a fresh start. Someone with ties to the program will, you know, foster the images of the past and, you know, the traditions and the legacies and keep that going. So, like I say, it's, you know, to me, Paul, it seems like it's still a traumatized community. They really haven't gotten to the point where, okay, say this is what we do and from this point we go forward and that's it.
Are the powers that be going to settle for anything less than a Penn State alum as the next head football coach?
You know, I didn't think so. I didn't think that was part of the criteria. I think they would like it to be, but it wasn't necessarily the case. But it's interesting that Mike Munchak, a former Penn Stater, an All-American there, would spent 30 years with the Tennessee Titans organization, was just fired on Saturday and is now in the mix, is being considered. He may be the prime candidate now, but you'd like to see which direction. Again, there's a faction that wants the new coach to be part of Penn State with a tie to Penn State, and others who may feel, no, that's not necessary. But, you know, if we want to get an outside guy who can you know, make a clean start.
So, I mean, if they don't hire a Penn State alum now, is this faction going to make life difficult for the next head coach?
I think life's going to be difficult for the next head coach, no matter what. That's just the lay of the land in big time college sports these days. It's not, you know, it's not all peaches and cream in any sense of the imagination. I think any head coach has critics, and you've got to be able to withstand that. You got to be able to, you know, say, look, this is my program, and I'm going to run it this way. I did think it was interesting that somebody on the search committee, John Nichols, said was quoted as saying, "Now we're joining the real world." Well, yeah, that's the lay of the land in big time college, big money sports these days. It's a business. It's a dog eat dog world.
We're a little short on time, but Miami head coach Al Golden was a candidate for the job. He seemed perfect, a former Penn State captain who played for Paterno, worked on his staff, or at least perfect in the eyes of Penn State and Paterno loyalists. So what does it say that he reportedly was offered the job and turned it down?
Well, don't forget, Miami's a big-time program, too, and he's you know, right there in the center of the football capital of the world with all those prospects and recruits just right there waiting for him. So I think a lot goes into that decision. I wouldn't read too much into saying that you know, he was deterred because he thought there might be interference, but I think he looked at the situation. Miami is a good fit for him, so he's staying put.
Our sports guy Bob Dvorak joining us. Bob, thank you and happy new year.
Same to you, Paul, and to your listeners too.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll meet York County businessman Tom Wolf, who is running to become Pennsylvania's next governor. Thanks for listening to the program. You can catch the entire show at WESA.FM. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.